he is known in the Ilonggos as Kamakama.
Kamakama.
Kamakamili.
Come and go.
Killing the Nuno will completely remove the curse. This method is often ill-advised as it could incur the wrath of its kin. You think?
Oh no.
I think the point is that a thing should not have to assert itself to you.
Yes,
for it to be apparent that respect is deserved.
Yeah.
Metaphor.
To quote Pocahontas, you think you own whatever land you land on. The earth is just a dead thing you can claim.
But I know every rock and tree and creature. Anyway.
Has a life, has a spirit, has a name.
It's been another week of technical difficulties.
It's so hard.
So maybe this is an open request. If any of you know how to
figure out how to make an aggregate mic on
and record on a Mac with two microphones.
Yeti mics with Audacity.
See, when we record with just one mic, it's fine. When we record over Zoom, we use our mics separately.
Individual
it's fine.
Mics.
We've spent like an hour just trying to figure it out. Brian had to come and, you know, give
Brian, whose job it is how to do this right.
Yeah.
He couldn't figure it out.
It's not a testament to his skill. It's just, I don't know.
He's a brilliant artist.
Yeah. Anyway. Welcome to the podcast. This is the Gods Must
this
Be
is
Crazy.
The Gods Must Be Crazy. We're a podcast on Philippine folklore and mythology. I'm Anima.
And I'm Ice. And we're your hosts. I'm very sorry. We're trying to warm ourselves up after battling with technology. Is Mercury still in retrograde?
Mercury is still in retrograde, actually.
See,
so that's
why. This is why.
The duende of the house. Help us, guys. Yeah. Come on, guys.
It's Mercury's fault. Anyway, yes. Okay.
Okay.
So, welcome to the Gods Must Be Crazy, and welcome to part two of the Duende and Nuno Sapunso special.
Yes. Our first episode was called Short Kings.
The second one will be TBC.
It's hard to top our wittiness.
Huh?
It's hard to top the wittiness of that.
Someone commented on the title card and was like, the sentence, "We love short kings," related to Nuno and Duende, is the funniest piece of Filipino humor ever. And honestly, I want that on a plaque.
I want to pat you on the back.
Just so you guys know, like when we edit our podcast,
the title is like the hardest part.
Yeah, 50% of the effort is just the title.
Yeah.
And then the other, like, distribute the other 50% to the editing, uploading, the art and everything. Yeah. But honestly, half the effort is really on the title.
It's hard.
And
it's
we do
so
it
hard.
All for you guys, you know?
I know. We love you.
All right. So, let's go back to where we ended in the first episode. So, we covered kind of a broad overview of the different, of what a duende is, right? In this episode, we'll do a deep dive on how do the different tribes and cultures in the Philippines call what is the equivalent of a duende in their culture. Because, as we said, it's kind of like an amalgamation, or as we like to say, a lazy generalization on the part of colonizers to call all of these like beings duende. In fact and in reality, they kind of sound like very different creatures.
Yeah.
They share a lot of similarities, but they have some very distinct characteristics as well. We will also go into the color classifications of duende and some honestly quite freaky modern tales.
Okay,
of
I'm ready.
People's encounters.
I'm
but
ready.
I'm also very excited to talk about the Nuno Sapunso, which is a very specific and iconic form of duende that we have in our culture.
Okay.
And then we'll end with a quiz.
We'll end with a quiz. I thought we were going to start with a quiz.
No.
Okay.
So you have to keep your energy up.
Okay, okay, that's good.
Okay.
I had a lot of coffee today.
That's yeah, me too. I think this is my third cup of coffee.
Wait, can I do a side story?
Okay, tell me.
We haven't even started. So there's this girl that I follow, and she's like a 20-something Filipino-American girl. And she has like, you know, she has the regular content of like things people say to you when you're like Filipino and blah blah, like antaba-taba mo na ganyan ganyan. But she's, I think she's half white, right? And then andami nagko-comment na, you're not Filipino enough, you're not Filipino enough. And then she says, if I'm not Filipino enough, can I do this? And she goes, there's a boy I know. Can I do that? Can I do that? He's the one I'm dreaming of. And I was like, well, yes, yeah. I guess you are Filipino.
But non-Filipinos can also sing.
That's true. But like that specific Whitney Houston song for a 20-year-old is
fair enough. Did you ever watch that? Was it Ibulaga or something? There were like these three kids.
Oh yeah, the Beyonce. Little boys. Yeah, yeah, yeah. They were like listen, like we're singing listen.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they were like going at it so hardcore.
They're so good.
And but they were like what, 9 or 10?
But also they did a cover of the Bee Gees. They're so good, but also they were wearing balbas.
They were
wearing balbas.
They were dressed up as the Bee Gees, and it was truly horrifying. Because they had like the little beards.
Yeah.
And one of them was
like an afro.
One of them had like a bald cap, if I'm not mistaken. It was truly.
It was horrendous.
Hey, they're teenagers now. They're continuing their music career. I know. I think I saw somewhere. So
I know.
Good on you guys.
I know. Okay.
All right. Duende.
Okay.
So, we covered what the Duende is in general in the previous episode. Here, we'll cover some of the different iterations. We'll cover a few of them just to describe what they're like. Because I have a few more stories of modern encounters.
Okay, okay.
With the Duende, which we can talk later down the line. So, the Anfisit is what the Ilocanos call this dwarf. He is an old man who was as short as a 3-year-old boy. His joints, belly, head, eyes, nose, and mouth are large.
Cute.
He lives underground and he owns all the lands.
All the lands.
And sometimes he lives in caves, in anthills, etc. And at noon, that's when he naps at the anthill. He does not want the... So this is interesting because it speaks of what is probably the objective behind these stories. But he does not want farmers to plow the ground with tractors.
Oh.
Because he said that plowing the land with tractors will ruin his home. Oh. And that's why it was discouraged for some point.
Time.
He visits people's yards after the sun has set. And he walks under the homes at noon and after dark. He doesn't want you to sweep the yard or the floor so that the dust doesn't get to his eyes. If you disturb him, he can do a few things to you. He can pinch you. And where he pinches you, your skin will turn blue, like bruises, right? You were pinched by a Duende!
No, I was playing with a bow and arrow and the bow snapped me on my arm.
He can pinch your toes. And when he, pull your toes. And when he pulls your toes, it becomes twice as long.
Ew, bro!
Or sometimes he can give you the chills, the fever, or scabies.
Ew, I just googled a few weeks ago what scabies looks like and it's nasty.
Don't google it, guys.
It's nasty.
Don't google it. Okay, so let's talk about what the Ibanags call the Aran.
Okay.
Or Aran, I'm not sure how to pronounce it. So again, he is as short as a 2 or 3 year old guy, but he has an old man's face, skin, and toes.
What if he just had progeria?
He cannot see too well, but his hearing is good. He has long, reddish hair.
Oh.
Ew.
Ginger.
So this is the one that the feet are pointed backward. So they have wide feet, and then their heels are in front, and the toes point to the back.
So nasty.
He steals rice, and he courts pretty village girls. And when he visits a girl, he says he wants to marry her. And if she agrees, he will take her to his home under the ground, where he has lots of gold and precious stones. And so to protect themselves, this is what you must do as a pretty girl to protect yourself. You have to wear a necklace of garlic or a necklace of crocodile teeth. And you must have a plain name like Kanuta or Osang. I would love to.
You know, I have a cousin. His name is Kenneth. We'd love.
I just love to imagine Maximo Ramos interviewing like the Ibanag people. I mean, like, can you give me an example of like an ugly name? And they're like Osang. and then like Osang is literally sitting beside the person who said that. It's like, hey, that's me.
And also Kanuta. Hey.
So yeah, probably they're the friends of the person.
May galit yung interview.
So and then they'd be like, oh, hindi, at least hindi kayo nililigawan ng 20, di ba? So if you do that, the iron will not court you. So okay. Just now you know. So
that's why I have a plain name.
So what do we call Tigan?
Awesome. I call Tigan. May kaibigan, Igan.
Okay. So the duende, right? So this is the picture. I probably post a picture. This is from the Creatures of Midnight book. But this is what the duende looks like with his little upo hat.
Okay, I get it. Yeah. I get it.
The head of the the end of the upo. So yeah, so they call him the duende. He is known in the Ilonggos as Kamakama.
Kama kama.
Kama kamili.
Come and go.
Kama kama kama. Okay. He's a little man with short arms and legs, has large joints, hands, and feet. The fingers are long and bony.
Yeah.
And the fingernails are long and hard, like
ew.
Horns. It's gonna be like, long, you know, those girls are like long, awkward, like, okay, never mind.
Ew, also equally gross.
His skin is brown and rough, his face is round, and his high cheeks. Wow, high cheekbones. His eyes are large, round, and soft. And sharp. And his mouth and teeth are also large. And then his voice...
So this guy has teeth.
Yeah. His voice is high-pitched like an old man.
Mm-hmm.
He lives in an anthill or in a cave, and he punishes children who go there and play. So when you pass by, you have to say, excuse me.
Excuse tabi, tabi, me, tabi, tabi, tabi.
Yeah. So... The kalangit. So there are different representations. I saw one where it seemed like a mandrake, but in this one, so sorry.
Harry Potter mandrake?
Kind of, but maybe that was more of a fantasy interpretation now that I think about it. Okay. So the kalangit is what the Ifugaos kind of believe in. So I think the Gadangs call him the karangit, the Ibanags call him the karango. And he's called Taong Lupa or Man of the Earth. Or sometimes he's called Kutong Lupa. Kuto is a lice. Louse. Louse of the Earth.
Yeah.
Wow. He's a short old man with a large head. He lives under ant mounds or in the woods and fields. And he's said to be the real owner of the land. They only rent from him. So they pay rent in the form of good food that doesn't have any salt or spices. He hates ginger, pepper, and vinegar. So it's not an adobo lover.
Also here. Not a tinola lover.
Yeah, sadly. The Ilonggos and Ilocanos believe in the Lampong, who is a short old man of the woods and fields.
Do you think McCormick, as a spice company, 100 years ago started this whole campaign of like, no, you know what, you have to buy a lot of garlic and salt and pepper from us.
Honestly, it's a great campaign. It sounds like a great marketing campaign.
Right? Maybe. It'll keep all of the creatures away. Yeah. All of them. Because all of them are afraid of pepper and salt and ginger and garlic, whatever.
This is your protection mix.
Yes, protection mix.
Right. How do you drive consumption? Oh, every day you have to toss one teaspoon behind you.
Because the duende is there every day. Yeah. Every noon and night.
They'll sell out in like...
Yeah. In Ilonggos.
Yeah. So, the Ilonggos and the Ilocanos call him the Lampong. He's short old man of those in fields. He has bright eyes and a long, spare beard.
He's more Pinoy than others.
He's a shepherd of wild deer. And he can turn himself to a deer. And stand still. So, when hunters shoot at him, they cannot hit him because he will run away. And then he will turn into an old man again.
Okay.
Why?
Because like, if he's a deer and he can stand still, then doesn't that make him easier to shoot at?
Well, apparently he can run away so fast after.
Okay.
Yeah. Then you have the Nuno sa Punso or the Matanda sa Punso, which means Nuno comes from the word Ninuno, which is ancestor. So it's an ancestor of the hill or of the mound. And again, it's, you know, very similar descriptions. A long beard, but it's not thick.
Yes.
It says here, his nose is low, like a Filipino.
Oh, it's not high. It's not high bridge. It means wala siyang bridge.
Yeah.
I have a high nose, but a big nose.
His ears are not pointed, but big and round. His shirt and pants are red. See, and he wears a salakot.
This is a traditional image.
Yeah. He lives under a tree or under a termite ground. He has plenty of gems and gold in his house. He keeps his treasure in big jars. He steals pretty girls from the village and offers them gold and jewels to live. I just want to know why this is such a trope.
Of pretty girls from the village, stolen by old men.
And lured by, like, money. You know, the interesting thing I found, I don't know if I said it last time. Anyway, so the Harangit, they have a different nickname.
Mm-hmm.
So, if Ifugao, mm-hmm. remember, the Kalangit or the Karangit is, mm-hmm. like, the landlord because they really own the land.
They own the land originally.
But they also call them something else.
What?
They call them Kutong Lupa.
Kutong Lupa?
So, wait, Kuto is, like, lice.
Yeah.
Like the louse of the earth.
But didn't I've heard that expression used before.
Yeah. Kutong lupa.
Yeah, like but for like a poor person.
Oh my gosh.
Like taong grasa, kutong lupa. Hampas lupa.
I've heard hampas lupa.
Yeah, but like kutong lupa, I've never heard it used in the context of
lamang
like,
lupa.
Lamang lupa, yeah. But kutong lupa was I've never heard it in the context of a duende. Okay.
So, remember, farmers make offerings to it. Like, they give boiled rice, unsalted boiled chicken. Yes. You know, it's really like...
maybe he has heart disease.
It's giving Jimbro.
It's giving...
sous vide. And, or cigars.
Okay, yes. Total Jimbro.
And then they give these offerings. They're left in the rice field after sunset.
Okay.
And then you do it... And then you do it again before you plow the land.
Oh.
And that's how they get it. And then sometimes, for example, if you want to get the... Ask the Kalangit to take care of your plants, the farmers will sprinkle the blood of a red rooster on the leaves of young plants.
What?
And that will ensure that they will take care of the plant.
Are they also vampires?
Hmm?
Are they also vampires?
Oh.
But like really minuscule amounts lang. Not like... They don't need it
like
to...
Kuto, Char.
Like Kuto, exactly. It's a full circle.
And then remember, these are the ones who are like, they're very old-fashioned. They don't want tractors on the field.
So yeah,
they
yeah, yeah.
prefer the use of carabaos.
Horses, yeah. manual plow, pang-araro. Pang-araro.
Araro.
That's
so annoying. Anyway.
The most Konya pronunciation of araro ever.
So, in Maximo Ramos's classifications, he actually places the Chanak within the dwarves category.
Well, he is small.
Yeah. I think the only problem is it doesn't necessarily share a lot of the characteristics with regard to, I don't know, guardianship of the earth, mm-hmm. or like...
Parang malice lang yung...
Yeah.
Like for the Tiyanak, his only motivation is malice and feeding.
So for me, it actually feels more appropriate to classify it with the Aswang.
And
cryptids or viscera eaters.
Yeah.
But, you know, we're not the deans of lower mythology.
We're not the deans of lower mythology. We can apply.
We'll have to have a doctorate.
I know. We have to publish.
I don't study.
I don't
want to. Okay. Anyway.
I don't want to study anymore.
Okay. So, before we tackle the Nuno,
mm-hmm.
I want to cover the different color classifications.
Okay. I know a little bit about it.
Because this
Papa Smurf is red.
Isn't he blue?
No, his hat is red and his pants are red. He's blue also, yes.
Okay. Wala tayong bughaw na duwende in the classification. But yeah, so I don't know where this started, but I definitely remember growing up hearing about this classification, right? And the simplistic ones would be, oh, it's a black or a white duwende, right? Have you heard of other colors?
Red.
Anything
and
else?
And green.
Yes.
Oh.
Ah! Okay. So,
I'm so smart.
You're such an expert at duende colors. Okay. So, the black duende, it said that the black duende
I was so tinged with colorism.
Ironically.
Oh, are they the good ones?
It's not the most evil. So, good. It feels a bit more neutral, because it says that some people believe that it is the most evil duende.
Mm-hmm.
But according to some people, if you can talk to them, get them on your side, or strike a bargain with them, they can also bring luck to you or your family or your business.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It also says that, this is the wording that I saw, even if they are black duende, they are tidy duende.
Oh no, racism alert.
No. I think it, yeah. So I guess it's more like, you know.
I mean, it's kind of like my Lola telling me that I look dirty after swimming and getting a tan, yeah, right? So it's, I get it.
Yeah, but they do say, so just be careful when you're dealing with them still, right? Mm-hmm. The most evil duende is actually, in fact, the red duende.
Yes, I know this.
And it is said that you should never try to deal with them at all.
Okay.
Because they won't keep their promises. So they're known to be very deceitful and untrustworthy.
And when would I have a context to deal with them? Like as if this is like a
business conference.
You know, like I have like I need a pitch for a new agency. I'm opening the pitch out to several duendes, and so you're like a red. No, sorry, you cannot pitch.
Because when
would I have business dealings?
They don't fulfill their promises. So even if they pretend to agree with you, but they still won't do it.
Uh-huh.
So watch out for them. There's also the white duende.
Okay.
So the white duende is said to be very calm, quiet, tend to be playful, especially mm-hmm. around young children. But when you talk to them, you have to be very calm and collected as mm-hmm. well. It's said that they have the ability to heal people who are under a spell of a sorcerer, which
ooh.
So I guess yeah, they have the power to reverse like kulam or curses.
Usog.
Yeah. Stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So they're a bit more of like the nurturing type of duende. And then there's the green duende.
Is the color of like their outfits or their skin or their hair?
You know, it doesn't really say.
Oh.
I'm going to go ahead and assume that it probably will manifest in like their appearance more from like a skin tone or hair
mm-hmm.
standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
Only because if I remember, even in Western mythologies on dwarves, mm-hmm. the differences are apparent in the hair and the beard.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
Anyway, but who knows? Maybe it's a costume thing, a uniform thing.
Maybe. A uniform.
So the green duende are said to be very fond of young kids.
Okay.
I think that means in a non-creepy way.
I know.
That's how I'm choosing to believe it.
We'll play and I'll give you treats.
They bring luck.
I will steal you away and keep you in my underground kingdom forever.
Who knows? They bring luck to gamblers.
Ooh, what? What?
But you can't. You have to be careful not to trust them completely because they're very like trickstery. They're mm-hmm. very naughty.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to kind of like bow to their whims if you want them to kind of like play with you or listen to you. Or sometimes you have to bring a kid because it will only listen to the kid.
What?
They prefer talking to kids rather than adults. Okay.
And this is not creepy?
Not that I mentioned it.
It's a little creepy.
It does sound a little bit.
A little creepy.
A little creepy. Okay, well, you know. That's
and
that.
It's green.
That's where we are.
Oh, okay.
It's giving an all leprechaun.
Ew. Okay.
Why ew?
No, because I remember that movie from like the 90s with like Jennifer Aniston. The Leprechaun.
Is this the one where there was a dad?
Yeah.
I love that movie. Random. There was a dad.
Many movies have dads. No. But yeah, I know what you mean.
It was a big part of the storyline. Yes, he tried to save them and whatever.
Yes, the dad. You know another movie with a dad? Inferno, Dante Speak, also Armageddon,
movie.
There's a dad also, Bruce Willis.
You know the movie with the dad. Okay.
Okay, moving on.
Moving on.
Like a leprechaun, okay.
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 Okay, as we get into the story of the Nuno, again, I want to start with a tale recounting someone's experience
mm-hmm.
with one.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So this is a story of someone. I'm gonna link the site where I saw the story, because I don't have the specific details. And, you know, let's keep it for privacy. Mm-hmm. But so they said they were born and raised in the Philippines, but they moved to the U.S. when they were 11,
mm-hmm.
right? But this story took place before they moved.
Okay.
So they were 7 years old. They were still in the Philippines. And they don't really remember everything that happened, but their family members, their uncles, their aunts, tell them what happened. But they're like, huh? I don't recall. So this is what happened. So when he was, he or she, when they were younger, they visited their dad's sister, so their aunt,
mm-hmm.
in the province.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the aunt had 3 children.
Mm-hmm. Province.
It doesn't say.
Okay.
So, the aunt had 3 kids, and then one...
As an aside. So, people...
I haven't even started. But
as an aside, when I used to say, when I first moved to Singapore, and I would tell people that, like, all my parents live in the province, it was such a, like, a... What? Like, for especially for, like...
Oh, the
Western
urban and
people.
Rural idea.
Yeah. Mm. I mean, apparently, one would, like... And it would be different from different people, right? So, like, example, like, a British person, they'll be like, oh, you know, they live in the country.
Ah, okay.
Right? Or, like... But in other cultures, the province is just where you... I mean, it's, like, yeah. It's not rural or urban or...
Well, you know, that's the privilege of having a developed country where...
I know.
You can have jobs in the same place that you live.
Yeah, but no. But even in, for example, China,
mm-hmm.
when you say province, it doesn't necessarily mean rural.
Okay.
So, like, oh, I'm from Jingdong province. I'm from Funan province. I'm from whatever. Funan province is not a thing. But anyways.
Mm.
So, like, when I used to say...
Funan Mall.
So, when I used to say, oh, my parents live in the province, so they're not in Manila. They were like, is Manila not a province? And we're like, oh, yeah, you're right. Province is a space. It's like a territory.
But we've used probinsya to mean rural.
Exactly.
Even though that's not what it should mean.
Exactly.
Because a province really is just like a region.
Yeah, it's just a region. It's just a territory. But anyway, sorry, as an aside. So for those of you who didn't grow up in the Philippines or have like Philippine context, when we say province, we mean the rural.
The country.
Areas. The country. Yes.
We were in the country.
Yes. So they visited their cousins
and cousins. So they were playing.
Yes.
Right? They went outside to play tagu-taguan, hide and seek.
Tagu-taguan, maliwanag ang buwan.
Okay. And their aunt's house was out in the woods. It was surrounded by mountains and there were lots of trees and tall grasses. So it's really like
picturing my parents' house.
Yeah, picture that. That's helpful. And then they weren't aware at the time of the belief regarding duende or nuno.
Uh-huh.
They didn't know about, like, you know, asking for...
You know why? Because this podcast hadn't come out yet.
That's true. So they weren't aware about, like, asking for permission, saying tabi-tabi po, and stuff like that. So they were playing hide and seek and then they saw this really big tree.
Oh no!
So it was a giant tree and they were like, oh, it looked like it was 100 years old. And they went around it and they saw a little hole where they could fit.
Oh no!
And they were like, oh, this is perfect. I can hide here. No one will find me.
Yeah.
So they hid there. So without thinking, and I think he or she probably heard what older people told them about, like, the superstition, but they completely forgot about it at that time. And then they were like, this is perfect. I don't want to be found. And they hid there. And then they waited for a long time. No one could find them. And they were like, this is getting boring. So they left.
Okay.
And then they went back to see their family. They said that they'd given up looking for them.
Oh,
because
no.
Because they were so hard to find. And then that evening, right before dinner, they started...
Was the passage of time the same for the kids and the grown-ups?
Hmm?
Was the passage of time, like, for the kids? Oh, they were
so.
For the after. Okay.
I suppose so. So that evening, before dinner, they started... kind of feeling weird, like they weren't feeling very well.
Huh.
They don't remember all their symptoms, but they said, like, they started feeling some shivers. They kept having to go to the bathroom and vomit.
COVID.
And vomit.
Oh no.
And after that, they don't really remember what happened. But according to their dad and their aunt,
Wait, was this just the one kid or all the kids went?
Just
the tree?
One who was hiding in the tree hole.
Okay, okay.
So according to their dad and aunt, they were practically in a coma for 3 days.
Oh no.
And there were instances where it seemed like they were hallucinating.
Oh no.
They were sweating heavily and then they suddenly started like laughing or crying.
Oh my god.
And sometimes they were like talking to someone in front of them as if someone was there, but no one was there.
Oh my god.
And then they took them, again, same story. They took them to the local Aguilario. Hospital. No, 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 okay. Of course.
Oh, hospital first.
Hospital
okay.
first. And then the doctors, like, they couldn't tell the family what was wrong with them. So then the aunt asked, the tita asked the kids. Just look at that. The tita asked the kids, what happened yesterday, the other day? Yeah, like, what was going on? And then the cousins told her and the dad that, you know, we were just playing hide and seek. Yeah. Like, you know, we weren't doing anything weird. But they were gone for a long time. Mm-hmm. And we couldn't find them. And then they were like, oh my god, what if, you know, na duende?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What if, you know, he got, like, cursed or whatever. So they took... Again, so the big guns, they took him to...
Albolario.
They took them to the Albolario or the witch doctor to find out what was wrong. And as soon as they brought the kid in the house, the Albolario knew there was an evil presence. So what they did was, the Albolario lit a candle.
Mm-hmm.
They took a tub and mm-hmm. poured about an inch or two of water.
Oh, I know this.
In
yeah.
the tub. And then they mixed, like, some plant oil, mm-hmm. right, in the water. And then they were chanting in a weird language. And then they took the lit candle and they poured the melted wax in the tub with the water and the oil.
Yeah.
And when they poured the wax, a figure started to form.
Mm-hmm.
And the figure was a huge tree mm-hmm. with a hole inside.
Magic. It's like Harry Potter, but instead of tea, wax.
But more importantly... Inside the hole was a human-like figure, which was him. But around the tree, or around the human figure, were 4 or 5 duende.
So many!
And they were just standing there, either staring, or some of them looked like they were throwing something.
I'm amazed at the level of detail you get from wax, right?
It's like, wow, that's
a very detailed
that's
wax
a, That's
sculpture.
A whole entire fresco.
I know.
So the witch doctor advised the family to take the kid back to the tree and they had to say, apologize, say, tabi tabi po nuno, and bring fruits for offerings. So that same day, the dad and the aunt took them to the tree and they asked for forgiveness. And the next day, they woke up, but they didn't remember anything that happened.
Full recovery.
Full recovery.
Wow. Well.
You know, also the intel.
I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's what happens when you cross the Nuno.
Yeah. And it's not just a punso. It's not just like a mound. Punso is mound. It is trees. It is... Someone told me before, basta something that was like breathtaking or something that was impressive.
Mm-hmm.
It's part of that. Even if it's man-made.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes before when I was swimming in my parents' house, because it was like in the middle of the rainforest, I would still say like tabi-tabi po. To swim in my own swimming pool.
Oh, for real?
Yeah. Because one time, as an aside, one time we were swimming before my friend Yummy, who I went to Bali with.
Uh-huh.
So she has her aunt's had a psychic like massage therapist.
Okay.
So like instead of reading tarot cards, like while she's massaging you, she'll like tell your future. I mean, I was like, okay.
That's quirky.
That's a good, like, combi of services. Okay. But okay. So for me, she was massaging me over there, you know, nothing out of the blue.
Mm-hmm.
And that weekend, Yummy had been over to my parents' house in Batangas and they were swimming, right? And then, habang minamassage na si Yummy, they were like, were you swimming lately? And I just like, you know, chucked it up to, she probably had a tan line or whatever. And it was like the Tuesday after we went swimming or something.
Okay.
And so she said, yeah, I was swimming. And then she says, yeah, because there's a spirit in the waters of the swimming pool. And nagustuhan ka, like it likes you. The duende likes you. It's a water duende. And it came with you. But it's not malevolent. It just like likes to hang out.
Okay.
And eventually it'll go away.
Okay.
But before this happened, uh-huh. every time I would swim in that pool, uh-huh. I always felt like I'm with someone. Mm. And like I always felt like there was someone swimming with. You know when you're swimming in a public pool
yeah.
and you're swimming in your own lane mm. and you can sense that there's someone swimming in the lane next to you. So it's a very small swimming pool and probably like 2 Olympic width
okay.
lanes lang. Uh-huh. And it was like 14 meters. Not a huge pool. Uh-huh. But every time I would try to do laps, I would always feel like there's someone like right next to me swimming. Okay. And I always chalked it up to like, it's a small pool. So the waves and the vibrations mm-hmm. just go back and forth. But then after this happened to Yummy, I was like, I was always very careful of like, you know.
I'm going to swim with you.
I'm going to swim. I'm coming, especially if it's evening.
Yeah.
I like swimming in the evening. Yeah. It's like, I'm going to swim a little bit, and I try not to make big splashes. Like, I try not to make a ruckus. Yeah. And then sometimes when we bring babies into uh-huh. the pool, we paalam also. Yeah, we're like, okay, we're going to bring a baby. If the baby wee-wees, we're sorry.
Has Tia never...
Oh, she's never been to the yet. Philippines. Yeah. But when we'll do definitely you plan make, to bring her? Maybe next year. Mm. You know. I don't know.
Okay.
I know.
So that brings us...
To
the star of the show. No, so the Nuno sa Punso. And we've covered a lot because again, it does seem like the Nuno sa Punso is also in some ways kind of an amalgamation, but it's still, they still do have their own specific identity.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So things we already know or are familiar with. It's a spirit that dwells in mysterious lumps of soil like termite mounds mm-hmm. Or ant hills mm-hmm. or old sacred earthen places, mm-hmm. right? It's traditionally depicted as a hunched, wrinkled old man mm-hmm. with a long gray or white beard, often wearing a traditional salakot, mm-hmm. which is a wide-brimmed hat made of rattan weeds or upo.
That upo hat!
The upo hat, which we... Did we post it?
No, not yet. But thank you to Janjan for sending us the link of the upo hat.
Yes. It's said that they're very territorial, obviously. Mm-hmm. And that's why they protect their spaces. And so you have to ask permission. And they often stay invisible, actually. Unless they choose to reveal themselves on mm-hmm. rare occasions. It's said that their skin is believed to be dark or tanned, like the soil.
Oh!
And their voices are hoarse or scratchy.
It's from all the smoking.
It doesn't really say smoking. So
well, there's like cigars and pipes,
although you do offer cigars to them. So, Nuno, as we said, etymologically, is kind of like ni Nuno or ancestor. Some people have tended to interpret it as old man. But that's, I think, because a lot of the depictions in stories mm-hmm. tend to show only male Nuno.
I was going to ask, are there female dwarves? Is this like a Lord of the Rings question? Are there female dwarves?
There are female dwarves.
But do
in Lord of the Rings.
I know. And the answer is like, yes, but sometimes they're bearded. They have bearded. So you can't tell.
So it doesn't completely dismiss the idea of female Nuno. Mm. But the...
So how do they procreate?
Who knows? But apparently, like, you know... So female Nuno are hardly ever mentioned in folk mm-hmm. stories. Or even if they are, usually they're very, very solitary.
Okay.
So we don't know. They're not in a lot of the stories. So because the Nuno loves their solitude, right? They don't really like it when people pass, trod on them, etc. And that's why the stories are always about people who don't know any better. They trespass and then they suffer the consequences.
Yes.
So even if it's by accident, right? They will still not
I find this. I find this the most interesting aspect of... Not interesting, but the most differentiating aspect of... Or like the earthen spirits.
Mm.
Lack of intent does not excuse you.
Yeah.
Right? Whereas in many other mythologies and mm-hmm. like for example, anting-anting, the talismans, spells,
it's actually the opposite, things, isn't
exactly.
It?
It's it needs to have intent, otherwise it doesn't mean anything, right? Prayers and offerings and things like that have to have specific intent. But here it's just like, I guess it's the opposite of it. It's like the lack of respect.
Yeah.
And that's like two ends of the spectrum, right? There's like the intent, the base, and then like the respect you have to get and like the absolute ignorance.
Yeah.
And you get like affected and penalized for not educating yourself of what you need to know before you enter into a place.
Yeah. Because I think the point is that a thing does not have to, should not have to assert itself to you.
Yes, for you
for it to be apparent that respect is deserved.
Yeah.
Metaphor.
Ah!
So what happens?
The lesson of the duende.
So what are the types of curses, right?
I know
Or what are the signs that you've been cursed? So in the story earlier, you can have high fever. Sometimes there's like crazy pain.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes there's swelling in offending body parts. So for example, there's a specific example here. For example, if you're a man.
Oh no.
And you know, you're trying to go to the washroom.
Yeah.
Or the,
and you pee in the duno.
Yeah. If you urinate on the mound.
Yeah.
By accident or whatever.
Yeah.
You may find your genitals swollen days after.
Yep.
If you stomp on the mounds.
Why?
You may end up experiencing aching sores or be unable to walk again.
So,
as a consequence.
As a sidebar. When my parents went to the U.S., this is like 1999, so this is like modern day, right? We lived in a house in the air base, and it was a very, very old house. It was built in the 50s, 60s. It was like built on a giant piece of land. I was looking for my papers in my cabinet. When I opened the cabinet, all the papers and the books have been eaten by termites. So we had like massive termite problem. We called the termite company. We had 4 punso.
Okay.
In our garden. And it was like in these massive shrubs. So we couldn't really tell that they were particularly nuno. And they found something like 7 termite queens or something.
Oh my God.
And everyone in the termite company like asked permission. This is like Mapica. This is like a legit, you know, the top tier termite company. And they asked permission before they dug up the queen and everything. And it's like science, right?
Where did they move them?
No, they relocate them. I don't know if they kill them. I think they relocate the queen or something. I'm not sure. Termite people, let us know. But our driver, Mang Toto, he did not ask permission. And he was like, I'm not doing anything. I'm going to help out with the digging.
Oh, no.
And then the next day, he had like super backache.
Oh, God.
And the arm, I think the arm that he used to, not the arm, but like one of the hands that he used to like tibag to knock down the punso was like super swollen.
Oh God.
And so he had to go to Albolario and get that looked at. And I said like, Pang Toto, well, why you? Why not everyone else? And then Mang Jani, who was our other driver, who was from
Pampanga,
Mang Jani was like, number one, I'm not getting into that shit. Right?
Smart man.
Mang Jani was the one who told us that Apo Malyari was angry when pinatubo is So he was like, number one, I'm not even gonna get into that because those guys are professionals, right?
Yeah.
You know, Mang Toto, you are crazy. And then number two, he noticed that Mang Toto did not ask permission when he was doing the digging. And so
What did Mang Toto have to do?
He went to the Albolario.
And then do you know what they did?
They made offerings.
Okay. Where were we? Okay. And then, so some report that they end up growing excessive amounts of hair on their backs.
Is there like a virus that makes you do that?
I have no idea. Or others experience dizziness that lead to vomiting dark liquid. Or they become ill or bedridden for days. Similar to the story.
COVID.
There's also something interesting that I haven't seen in the other stories. But they say that the spit of the nuno is enchanted.
Ooh!
The dura.
Enchanted. Bad, enchanted, good.
So for a nuno to successfully curse a person, the trespasser must be close enough for him to spit on them.
Okay, that's why you have to have like a wide berth.
Yeah, so some say that if you...
What they mean by spitting distance?
Yeah, maybe. And then they say that if you suffer a scratch from the long, sharp fingernails of the nuno, your skin will harden until it spreads to the rest of your body and render you paralyzed.
Leprosy.
Do termites have venom or whatever?
I don't think so, no.
Anyway, so there. Gross. Those are other manifestations of it.
Can I tell you a funny spit joke? Sorry.
Yeah.
So, Yaya, of course, believes in Usog, right?
Yeah.
And Tigan is is an adorable baby girl. And so a lot of people always say like, oh, you're so cute, blah, blah, blah. And sometimes she'll get sick because she'll pick up something from school. But Yaya thinks, you know, you can never be too
careful,
right? So she cuts a little piece of ginger.
Oh, you told me this.
And she tucks it in her panty. And then lately, she said, Tegan seems like particularly charming lately.
Uh-huh.
So she wants extra protection. So she asked me if I could do, you know, the mother's protection spell.
Uh-huh.
Of like Alyssa Sok and everything. And like put spit on her
uh-huh.
Hair and her feet, right?
Uh-huh.
And of course, I don't want to do it without Tegan's consent, right?
Yeah.
And I said, can mommy put a magic spell on you so that you'll be protected? I'm like, yeah. Well, she's like, okay, mommy. And then I said, and she's like, why are you licking me? I said, because mommy spit is magic, right? She's like, okay. So I do it in her head and then I tap her head. And then she puts her hands over my hands and then she like closes her eyes and like absorbs it and stuff. So one time I was doing that, and then we don't do it like every time, but one time I walked her back and before she left, she said, and Brian was there, and he's like, mommy, do your magic spell. And then Brian was like what's going on?
Nothing.
But then he's Irish, right? So you know,
he gets it.
And so I said like, oh, blah, blah, blah. And then Brian was like, that's very special. It's mommy's magic spell.
Aww.
Yeah.
Like,
it's very cute. She absorbs. Like, feel na feel niya.
Kiling flower, na kiling gleam and glow.
Make your flower shine. Oh, my God. I'm Mother Gothel. Because I have kulot hair.
Yeah.
That's what Ella's daughter said. She thought I was Mother Gothel. So she asked.
Honestly, Mother Gothel's fab.
She's pretty awesome. She's got great curl patterns.
Who plays her? Who's that actress? She's amazing.
Was it Bernadette Peters?
No. It's this amazing Broadway. She's always in the Sondheim thing.
Yeah. She was in Into the Woods, I think. In the movie.
She's really good.
So Ella's daughter said, mommy, how old is Tita Anima? Is she hundreds of years old? Probably the first curly-haired person she's ever seen. Anyways, aside. Okay, go.
Okay. So, how do you break the curse?
Okay.
Right? Let's say a curse is put on you, how do you break it? So, it says here that, obviously, the common Filipino belief is if modern medicine is not able to cure you, then it's probable that, you know, whatever you're suffering may be due to the curse of Anuno.
Mm-hmm.
So, the term, if you've been cursed, is you're Nanuno.
Yes.
Or Namatanda.
Namatanda, yes.
Because matanda means old person.
Yes.
So this old person put a curse on you.
Yes.
Right? So you're brought typically to an albolario or a folk healer for them to diagnose and heal you.
Mm-hmm.
And they use a divination method called ceromancy. So that's what we described earlier. The candle wax on the sacred water while prayers or chants are being whispered. It's also called pagtatawas.
Yes.
Right? It's called pagtatawas because you actually use tawas.
Yes.
Right? Which is a chemical compound called alum.
Yeah. It's a salt.
And when you mix it in the water, that's what helps it make shapes.
Oh,
versus
is it a
just
hydro,
randomly.
Is it a hydro...
You know, I've never tried.
Repellent?
Hydrophobic?
Hydrophobic. Is
I'm
it an antiperspirant?
Sure. But I guess it has a different effect on water so that when you pour the wax, it creates different shapes.
I bet it's hydrophobic. Mm. Is alum, I need to Google this. Is alum hydrophobic? Is alum. Yes!
There you go.
That's why some people use it for antiperspirant also.
Yes.
Love
it.
But also because it's salt,
it
also arrests bacteria growth. That's why it's also good deodorant. Yes.
So, still linked with breaking curses or preventing curses, right? So, in most cases, the victim and the family have to, as in the earlier story we said, ask to provide offerings to the Nuno and bring it to their dwelling place, right? Mm-hmm. Sometimes an animal sacrifice is asked for, and this links with very similar stories. You usually offer a white chicken to soothe the Nuno's anger. If still doesn't work, then you have to personally ask for the Nuno's forgiveness.
Like a la confession.
Yeah. So that hopefully...
Nuno, for I have sinned.
So that hopefully the effect is not permanent, right? Because they do say that sometimes there's permanent possession that happens.
What?
Which could later cause insanity, according
or
to the local superstition.
Schizophrenia.
There's a way to kill, you know.
No!
And I was so shocked to find that there was such a myth or a story. But so, I'm just reading what I've heard. I do not recommend doing it.
Please don't.
So, some people believe that it's possible to capture a Nuno by way of a lure. Do you know what the lure is?
A or kid?
The bait? According to legend, they're attracted to... It's really so annoying to read this. A larger, plump woman. Placed on the side of the road after midnight. Why?
So I'd better not sit on the side of the road after midnight.
Because then the Nuno will be like,
he'll just come over to me. And it's like, no, I'm not waiting for you. I'm waiting for my bus.
Also, I love how the woman has absolutely no choice in the matter. She's
and the
plump.
Woman is placed. She's, a plump yeah. woman placed.
She's oh like, plonk. God. Yeah, you stay there. You're a lure. So that's the lure. And then when you see the Nuno come, you catch it. And
does the woman have to catch it? Or is the woman like bait?
Just bait. I hope.
God. All the indignities. Okay.
God, this is horrible.
Okay.
So how do you kill the Nuno? When you catch it.
Never heard of this story.
Okay. When you catch it, you crush its head.
Oh no, that's horrible.
Between your fingers. I mean, it's not that small, right? Anyway. Or your thighs.
What?
And killing the Nuno will completely remove the curse that it
This
caused.
Is... A violent resort.
And then it says, this method is awful, often ill-advised as it could incur the wrath of its kin. You think?
Oh, no.
First of all, you offer a plump lady who's minding her own business.
Oh, no. That's horrible. But has it been done?
I don't know. Okay. And I was truly shocked to even see any account of this is how you kill one.
I've never heard of it.
Because as far as I was concerned, they couldn't be killed. They just like...
Yeah, they're like immortal, right?
Yeah. I mean, you don't talk about how to like defeat Capre or whatever.
No. You can defeat the Tikbalang defeat in that...
No, but not kill.
Yeah, grant a wish. But like not kill.
Yeah.
So that's...
That's honestly twisted. Please don't do that.
Please don't do that. Also, as a plump woman... Please, nobody use me as bait.
Sorry to the Nunos for that.
No kink shaming, Nunos.
Before we wrap up, I wanted to
quiz time.
Do a quiz, yeah.
Oh, okay. Kala ko you forgot. I was so excited.
Tiga. So, I wanted to do a quiz.
Okay.
Initially, my plan was to kind of cover all of the depictions of Nuno and Duende in popular culture.
Okay.
But I couldn't find a lot because I think there's enough. Like, for example, we have in Trece, the comics, where there's a supernatural detective called Alexandra Trece.
Mm-hmm.
Her spy network.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, is
the Duendes.
The Duendes and the Nunos. So the yes. Nunos travel in the sewers. And then they, as we've heard in the legend, they're big gossips. So that's where they start getting information. I think there was also Alaman Lupa.
Yes, there was also
betrayed
Alaman.
Her.
Yes,
yes. Spoilers.
Spoilers.
But
I thought it was the same guy, honestly. I'm just so bad at recognizing.
If you guys have read the mythology class by Arnold Are, so one of the characters there, she is beleaguered by this Nuno who mm-hmm. basically abuses her,
mm-hmm.
right? And bullies her. And I found that to be such a sympathetic storyline.
Yeah, stalker.
Actually. So opposed to actually in the site. But I really wanted, but I ran out of time. I really wanted to kind of cover parallels and similarities with dwarf mythologies
okay.
from other cultures. Maybe we'll do that as a follow-up.
Mm-hmm.
We're at an hour, so...
yeah, no. And like I think one of the things that are coming out is that like we, in all the episodes that we've done, right? And we're like, what, 40 episodes. We found that the influences are coming from places that we didn't expect.
Yeah.
Right? Like, so like Tikbalang is like I was talking to my Indian coworker, ex-coworker the other day, and I said, yeah, oh, you know, we were talking about tikmalang, about, you know, getting lost. And she's like, what's this? And I said, it's a creature. It's like, and I was trying to describe what he looked at. And I was like, no, wait, you know, hayagriva. And she's like, yeah. And I was like, and I was explaining to her, like, it probably got to the Philippines and the flames behind, this is a theory. And she's like, yeah, if you have no context of hayagriva, he's scary.
Although according to Jordan Clark of the Song Project, that's still very contested.
Contested theory. And then when we were talking about the why the reversal of clothes, right? So for the dwarven influence, I wouldn't be surprised if there's like a lot of links with like Irish culture in particular, mm-hmm. with the dwarf and the leprechaun and stuff and the fairies.
I think, so the way that I'm thinking about it is in the same way that many, many water spirits or water creatures mm-hmm. share similar characteristics because they're inspired by basically sea creatures
and right? sailors.
So it's not stories. Necessarily probably that the story itself traveled, but in that the characteristics of sea creatures are very similar.
Yes, spontaneous creation.
Your imagination would go to the same thing. So yes, there will be a lot of traveling and borrowing of these similar cultures, but it is not a leap to think about the earth and the spirits that would guard the earth and link it with precious stones and precious metals, because that's what...
And smaller people because they're low to the ground.
That's what the earth kind of signifies or means for a lot of people.
Yep.
Right? So speaking of that...
Okay, quiz!
I have a very short quiz for you.
Okay.
But it should be fun because it's kind of... a quiz on the dwarf or the dwarves of popular literature.
Okay.
Popular culture.
Okay. Movies. I'm ready.
So.
I'm ready.
That's why you can use stock knowledge.
What? Okay.
Yeah. Let's see.
Okay.
An easy one.
Rumpelstiltskin.
In Lord of the Rings.
Yes.
How many rings were given to the dwarf kings?
The dwarf kings? 7.
Are you sure?
5. 5 or 7.
Are you sure?
10 to the men, 4 to the dwarves, 4 to the elves, 8 to 6? Less than 10. 7. Last answer. Uh-huh. 7.
Correct!
Yay! Oh my Lord of the Rings friends will be so happy!
So
7. 7 to
3 kings for the elven kings under the... 3 rings for the elven kings the sky.
Okay.
7 for the dwarf lords in their halls of stone.
And 10.
9 for mortal men doomed to die. 1 for the dark lord on his dark throne.
Okay, fine.
In the land of Mordor where the shadows lie. Mm-hmm. So 7. All right. Name at least 3.
Oh my gosh.
Of the 7 kindreds of dwarves.
7 kindreds?
So 7 dwarf kings.
Okay.
Dwarf lords got it. They represented each of the 7 kindreds of dwarves. I'll give you an example. Durin's folk.
Okay.
They're called Longbeards.
Oh no, I don't know any of these.
Just guess. Just make up something.
Oakenshields?
No, that's their last
name. That's his name. Longbeards. Thick arms.
Long beards, thick arms, big belly.
Big belly, barrel chested. I give up. See it.
So these are the 7 kindreds. Durin's folk are known as long beards.
Yes.
We have fire beards.
Okay.
Broad beards.
Okay.
Iron fists.
Okay.
Stiff beards.
Okay.
Black jacks.
Okay.
And stone foots.
I've never guessed any of those. Never. Okay.
Yeah, I guess it's deep.
It's deep, Lord of the Rings.
Oh, hi. What is the average lifespan of a dwarf in the Lord of the Rings?
1,500?
No.
400.
What's your final answer?
400.
It's 250. So dwarves live a long time.
Yeah.
Their average lifespan is 250 years, but they breed slowly.
Yes.
And that's because only 1/3 of them are female.
Yes.
And not all of them marry.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So.
Let there be a Snow White because I have.
That's the next question.
I've been inhaling Snow White since Tegan was born.
Wait, that's the next question.
Okay.
So.
Ding, 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 ding.
So, the Brothers Grimm published their book in 1812.
Okay.
Which featured the story of Sneewitchen. Or Snow White.
Okay.
Right? The question is...
1937.
No. The question is, so this the story that they had already contained many of the elements we know and love mm-hmm. today, like the magic mirror, the poison apple, mm-hmm. the glass coffin. Question is, did it already contain the characters of the seven dwarves?
It did not.
Are you absolutely sure?
Not seven dwarves.
It did.
Really?
Yeah, the evil queen and the seven dwarves were already there.
I thought they were, that was a latter edition. Okay.
So, but in that specific story, the dwarves did not have names. So they only started having names when they were brought to Broadway in 1912. Mm-hmm. My question for you is, what were the names of those dwarves?
Days of the week.
This is very hard.
Days of the week?
No.
No? Okay, what?
Their names were Blick, Schlick, Glick, Snick, Click, Wick, and Quee.
Nah, that's too hard. That's too hard. I was thinking there was a Hallmark Snow White mm-hmm. a few years ago, like I think in the 90s. And Kristen Kruick was Snow White.
Oh, I love Kristen Kruick.
She's gorgeous. She's gorgeous in it.
And the Smallville dwarves, girls. Right?
Yeah. And this was before Smallville.
I watched this.
Yeah. It was on Hallmark. It was on all the time. Miranda Richardson was the queen. Mm. It's very cool. Anyway, so the dwarves were not all small people. Uh-huh. They were like differently sized people. There mm-hmm. was even like a giant. Mm-hmm. And they were days of the week. Mm-hmm. And they were colors of the rainbow. Mm-hmm. So their clothes were colors of the rainbow, which I like, I think.
Mm, nice.
Yeah.
Okay. Next question.
Yes.
It's from Narnia.
Okay.
Do you know Narnia?
I'm not very good with Narnia.
Okay. There are two main kinds of dwarves in Narnia.
Okay.
The white dwarf and the black dwarf.
Okay.
True or false?
I have no idea. True?
It's false. So there's the red dwarf and the black dwarf. Uh-huh. And it's kind of like the red dwarfs are the cheerful dwarves. Yeah. The black dwarfs are the grumpy dwarves.
Okay.
And you can tell them apart by the color of their hair and beards, which is either red or black.
I was like trying to remember the James McAvoy's name. Mr. Tumnus.
Tumnus.
Yes.
Who is a...
He is a satyr.
Satyr.
Yeah.
So I'm guessing you don't know the names of any of the dwarves.
No.
Okay.
No.
I'll just tell you.
Okay.
So some of the main characters. Trumpkin is the one who, played by Peter Dinklage in the movie, was one of the main allies of the four monarchs mm-hmm. of Narnia. And Nicabrick was like the...
Nicabrick is familiar. So was this in the Caspian one or in the first Narnia?
Caspian.
I didn't really observe Caspian. The Caspian.
So Nicabrick was kind of like, he was one of the black dwarves. Okay. And the black dwarves, the Narnians kind of hated black dwarves because they sided with the witch when she took over. Uh-huh. But Nicabrick was part of the old Narnia. He was still like friends with the beaver and whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But he betrayed them because he was like disappointed that Caspian was not able to defeat like the enemies. Anyway.
Caspian's hot.
Okay. So, you have to identify which part of this statement is wrong.
Okay.
This is from The Wizard of Oz.
Okay.
You're more familiar with it.
No?
So, the Munchkins.
Okay.
In The Wizard of Oz lived in Munchkin Country. Mm-hmm. Which was in...
Munchkin Land.
No, they called it Munchkin Country. Which was located in the east part of Oz. Mm-hmm. Now, all of the Munchkins wore blue mm-hmm. and were of diminutive stature. Mm-hmm. So, something in that statement is wrong.
They lived in the West and they wore red.
No, so they lived in the East.
Okay.
Because remember, the Wicked Witch of the West.
Yes.
Anyway. They all wore blue indeed, but they actually were not small.
Okay.
Even though it was only in the movies where they were depicted.
We had Munchkins for Marianne that day. I'm just saying.
Dunkin' Donut.
Yeah.
Munchkins.
Yes, yeah. Very good.
So it was only in the movies that they were
made small.
Yeah. I was going to have a question on Oompa Loompas, but then I kind of felt uncomfortable about it.
It's a very hot topic now.
It is a very, yeah tricky topic, because when they first kind of showcased the Oompa Loompas in the story, Roald Dahl, right? He had to change it because they were first depicted as pygmies.
Yeah.
And even the origin is like, oh, I took them from like worse conditions and then I gave them real jobs.
Yeah, that's a slavery conversation.
Very problematic.
Yeah, yeah. Roald Dahl is very problematic. He is. He's like a wild anti-Semite, apparently.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah. Also, I'm not looking forward to the
movie.
Timothée Chalamet.
I know.
Wonka. It's just so weird.
Yeah.
The acting.
Yeah.
Especially after, I know, I grew up with a Gene Wilder.
Yeah.
One.
And the Johnny Depp was all right.
It was all right. Yeah, it was strange, but fine. Like, it's still believable to exist in its own multiverse of, you know,
I highly enjoy
multiverse
it.
Of Wonkas.
Yes.
I believe that there's a universe where that would exist, but this Timothée Chalamet one is like,
why are they trying to make him hot?
It's not even that. It's like when he tries to play quirky, it's just, it takes you out of it and you're like, oh, Timothée Chalamet is trying to be quirky.
Because he's just good at being Timothée Chalamet.
Meaning broody and...
Yeah, broody, depressed.
Broody, mysterious, romantic character.
Yeah, tragic.
Like a Heathcliff.
Dying.
Cliff type.
Tuberculosis-ish. He has that pallor. He has like a tuberculosis pallor. He's really skinny. He's a little flush.
You know, he should play...
Glassy
Has he
eyes.
Ever played a vampire?
He should play...
He should totally...
An Edgar Allan Poe character. Right?
Fall of the House of Usher.
Yes.
Casco from Amontillado.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
I think he's too... He's too youthful to play a vampire. He could. But he's more like
Edgar... Vampires are supposed to be youthful. I mean, not that they're supposed to, but in romantic...
They're like forever young, right? Yeah. I don't know. I have a different... crusty imagination of of vampires,
like in Sunshine by Robin McKinley, one of our favorite books,
or like What We Do in the Shadows.
Wait, I got Shane to start watching it. He loves
it's
it.
It's so funny.
Yeah, he's like, oh my god, I need to recommend this to my
it's
friend.
It's so good. I love the little Nadia doll.
Anyway, well, here we are.
We
made it.
I'm
we're at the end of part two. So that was it. That was the tale of the Duende and the Nuno. Or, you know, the earth spirits or guardians of the earth in Philippine mythology and folklore. I'm sure there's many, many, many more stories of people's encounters with the Nuno. I think even just 2 days ago, someone messaged us and said, oh yeah, I was actually like cursed by a Nuno when I was a kid. I was like, what?
Yeah.
Just casually.
Yeah.
So... we would love to kind of hear if you have any kind of interesting accounts of your personal experiences or people you knew. Please do share it with us. And we may be sharing that in a future episode.
We might do like a special Nuno sharing episode.
Yeah. So you can send us your story through Instagram, send us a message or email or voice message. So we can like, you know, share your actual voice and story. So you can just leave us a voice message on our Spotify page.
Anchor FM, Spotify, Instagram, a voice note.
Yeah.
We got a lot of new folks who came over to
because of the Nuno.
Because of our first Nuno episode. Welcome to Gods Must Be Crazy.
Yeah, we're always like this in case you were wondering.
The ADHD podcast.
ADHD mythology podcast. But look, what I found most fascinating about this topic was that, again, it has been oversimplified to just one kind of umbrella term. But the fact that there's every single culture and region and province had their own
tradition.
Kind of earth guardian spirit and story was something that I found just so fascinating.
I'm wondering if like, so a lot of it comes from like farming communities, right?
Yeah.
So like Batangas, Pampanga for sure. I wonder if the seafaring communities have Nuno legends also. Do they have like different...
Is there equivalent? The sirenas?
Yeah, maybe.
And the water spirits.
Maybe. But they're not little. Yeah. They're like...
No, but you know, it really speaks a lot about the relationship that our ancestors had with the earth. They thought that it is something that needs to be respected. Mm-hmm. It is something that is older than all of us. And
it's not owned by us.
It's not owned by us. Yep. You're just paying rent.
As to quote Pocahontas, you think you own whatever land you land on. The earth is just a dead thing you can claim.
But I know every rock and tree and creature. Anyway.
Has a life, has a spirit.
I thought you were going to quote Rent.
Rent?
The Broadway musical.
What part in Rent?
The first song. How you gonna pay?
Oh, yeah.
Like, everything is rent. Anyway, true. Sorry. What else I say?
As an aside.
No, I just think it's such a good way to reflect on our own relationship, right? With the earth, with the environment. And the fact that a large part of the belief still exists, right? Even if we know we're rational scientific creatures, a lot of us will still say tabi tabi po when passing through a old tree.
When you're pointing at something, you bite your finger.
Sacred liminal spaces. Yeah. And that's nothing to be ashamed of. It shows that you respect the earth. You recognize that there's something more than just molecules of soil and grass. Mm-hmm. And there's something special here. So keep that. And please do not take that advice about how to lure.
Please don't.
Just please don't.
On behalf of plump women everywhere, please don't.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. As always, we love hearing from you guys. Let us know what you think about it. Tell us your Nuno stories. We'd love to share that. And we'll see you next time.
Bye!
Oh, hey, Anima.
Oh,
where can they find us?
You can find us on the Gods Must Be Crazy.pod on Instagram, Facebook, YouTube. And you can hear us on Spotify. A lot of you find us there. Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts. Oh, shout out to Tatan, who listens to us on Apple Podcasts.
Welcome, Tatan.
We love you. Welcome, Tatan. It took you a while to get here, but thank you for coming. And also, there's like a podcast mania, because something apparently people listen to podcasts on. I didn't know that. But you can find us on all these platforms. And if the platform allows you to, please give us a 5-star rating.
Yeah, that would be great. It's a great way to help people find the podcast. Or you might want to share it with a friend. You know, are they interested in this episode? Mm-hmm. Are they interested in a fun and funny podcast on Philippine mythology?
Mm-hmm.
Please do send the link to your friend. We really appreciate it.
We hope we're a little bit educational. We hope we're a little bit entertaining. And we hope to keep you company on your commute.
We hope you have a great commute, you know, to work or to home.
Yay.
Bye, guys.
Bye.